Omigyanatimarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Yadati Sapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayebacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siadvaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, wonder if this window can just be shut for my class, okay? Just for my class, I need it shut. Greetings from Colombia. Okay, that's good. Greetings from Colombia. I guess we're on the same time thing, basically, so it's the same day. So yesterday, you celebrated Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja. And today you the day before you celebrated Janmashtami. So we did our Janmashtami yesterday, and we'll do our Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja today, although I did it myself with a few people. So let's start with Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja. When I was speaking yesterday to the audience, I started with a quiz and I asked what day it was, because yesterday wasn't Janmashtami, but we were celebrating Janmashtami. And I felt a little bit bad about it because, it's Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja, but we couldn't do anything because we had a teacher training with 40. There's so many complications. So, okay. But everything is Prabhupada's mercy. Right? Because happiness is the soul and mercy is happiness. Mercy is never misery. Well, mercy is misery if misery gives you happiness. Sometimes we have to become miserable to be happy. We have to suffer to, go deeper, So, let me see what my point was. Anyway, I was starting the so yeah, everything is Prabhupada's mercy. The gifts that he's given us are the things that really can make us satisfied. And increasingly so. I honestly am feeling that in my life. It's been almost 50 years in this process. Next May, I would be like 50 years Hare Krishna. And there's so many struggles and so many, it's not like you start at the platform of whatever, there's challenges, there's so many things. But I can understand how this is the process of the soul and the process of becoming satisfied. And we shouldn't be misers. Kripana, there's Brahmana and Kripana. Brahmana means broad-minded. Kripana means narrow-minded. Narrow-minded means a miser. Brahmana means broad-minded. When you're broad-minded, you look at things in a greater context, like a child who wants something that's bad for him. He can only see the moment that it touches his tongue and not the effect it has. You want to speak of broad-minded, not just looking at things through this life, looking at a broader with a soul. Maybe we have to sacrifice this life for Krishna to get Krishna. But we can't underestimate the gifts. Just like yesterday here, we had, I don't know, how many people you think we had here yesterday? I think so. I thought 50, 60 people. But they were all, educated people, I don't think more than a third were devotees. So it was so nice sharing and seeing them. Okay, we had Jai Jagannath doing kirtan. I spoke. We had an Abhishek. And you're more than welcome to join, of course. So the gifts that are given, if I look at my own life, where would I be without knowledge and understanding? Most people just don't. Welcome. Are you in the teacher training here? Very good. What's your name? Okay, thank you. And I guess I spoke the last time, a couple of months ago, you were there? Oh, I. Okay, okay. Were you there last night?
Yes.
Did you enjoy it?
It was very good. And the bathing of the deities.
The bathing of the deities? Okay. Yeah.
Like you could feel something.
Wow.
Something in your heart.
Wonderful. Yeah. Alyssa, your name is? So this nice lady, Alyssa, she's staying at our ashram because there's a teacher training. And she's explaining to me that she went yesterday to our function. It's new to her. She's never seen it. But even without the full understanding, how much she felt in the heart, how beautiful it was. Because that's really what bhakti means ultimately. Bhakti is the feeling of our relationship with God. Just like you have relationship, like I talked about grandmothers yesterday, or that husband, whatever. We have people in our life that we may love at one point or another. And when we're in their presence, we feel an energy of love. And that's what everyone's looking for. But the highest love is universal love. When you love everything, that's love of God. So when we have these functions, that's what you're experiencing. The divinity, it's manifest and it's real, because we're part of something greater than ourselves. And we have a relationship. The part always has relationship and meaning to the whole. Right? I have a little computer here. There's one little part that's missing. If I take it to some village, it has no value. But to the machine, it has a lot of value. So basically, we're connected with God. And we really have meaning in that relationship, as the hand has meaning in relationship to the body. And it's not only meaning, it's a feeling. It's a feeling. Sometimes you see that. I've seen that sometimes where, in World War II, the Nazis separated families. I've seen this. And then there's someone that's 90 years old. They haven't seen their brother since they're 4 years old. And then they somehow locate that he's still alive and he's living in Belarus or Minsk or Kiev. And then they show that they come off the plane, and there's a feeling immediately, because there's some bond or there's relationship. There's a deep, deep feeling of love. So that's really what bhakti is. It's the manifestations of the divine in accessible ways that allow us to feel our natural connection. And it's the offering of love. That's why I say bhakti means flowers and food. Because that's how you express love. And you feel it. You saw how beautiful the flowers were. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. I'm getting a nice audience here unexpectedly. So I'm explaining, you know, my gratitude to my guru, to Prabhupada, because he gave me these gifts. And he gave me these gifts of knowledge. All suffering is due to ignorance. So the greatest gift is to get the right understanding. And we see, sometimes we lament for a relative of someone who's in ignorance. They're taking cocaine, they're taking drugs, they don't know their life, they don't have knowledge. They're doing the wrong things and they suffer. So there's no greater gift than the gift of knowledge. And that's what great teachers do. And they do it through books. Books give life, right? They give life. If you're in a whole city, the city is dead. There's no life without knowledge. Therefore, great teachers print books. Prabhupada gave so many books of transcendental and spiritual knowledge. So it's a day that we feel great gratitude. And there's one verse, Nama Shrestham Manumapi Sachi Putram Atra Sarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Uruparim Matra Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaram Maho Radhika. These are all gifts, beginning with the name of Krishna. The name of God is a gift because there's no difference between God and his names because God is absolute. I was chanting this morning. We have this big, beautiful lawn and just hearing these syllables. But why do they give joy? Because there's relationship and it invokes love within the heart. So today is his appearance day. We'll have a little function in the afternoon. You're invited to come if you're still around. It's about 5:30. And you'll probably hear me. I don't know. I'm just speaking spontaneously, but one appreciation I was going to have about Prabhupada is he not only accomplished something so amazing, which is taking... Actually, there's a verse in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. There's one book about Lord Chaitanya. And it said, Prithiviti Achiyati Nagaradizam. Lord Chaitanya said, he's also Krishna, my name will be spoken in every town and village. The names of Krishna. So this book is 500 years old. So all the people in tradition are reading this book. What does this mean? This has never happened. What does he mean? My name will be chanted in every town and village. Prithivityati Achi Nagaradi Gram. What does this mean? Maybe it means something else, right? You know, because when it doesn't, you have, it's true, but how is it true? Maybe it means something else. And then Prabhupada took the holy name of Krishna in every town and village. It's amazing. I have students in Iran. And now I can't contact them because or it's hard to contact now because the government is kind of finding out. So yes, I can show you. I'll show you after this videos of in people's houses of 80 people doing kirtan in Iran. It's actually illegal. These things can be punishable. But every town and village, he spread the holy name. But the interesting thing is, how did he start? He came to the Lower East Side of Manhattan, where Krishna brought him. And they weren't very educated and cultured people like we have now. They were hippies. They were hippies. I'll tell these stories this afternoon probably too. They're funny. So Prabhupada, you know, like when you have sports, like let's say gymnastics, I know that's one sport, or diving, how do they give you a score? They give one score for how well you did, and then they multiply it by how difficult it was. So the more difficult it was, the higher the score. So Prabhupada came to America. Oh, mi amigo, me, how do you say dentist in Spanish? They, me dentista. Bueno, dentista, the best. Because you're not seeing this, but my dentist just came. I wrote that article on him called The Absolute Tooth. No, it's very, very vibrant here. I mean, within another hour, there'll be 40 people here. And they all stayed for the Janmashtami practically. They were all chanting. So I'll tell two stories what Prabhupada had to preach to, okay? Because I'm from New York, so the Lower East Side. Now you went there, you went to the Bhakti Center. It's very expensive. But in those days, sometime, I remember I preached to one Argentinian lady. I met her in Vrindavan, very aristocratic. Had a very apartment in the Upper East Side. She never went crossing Second Avenue. No one would go down there. These were the worst neighborhoods. And it's second, first, then A, B, C, D avenues. A is okay. All right. B is bad. C is crazy. D is dead. And then there's the East River, E. That's where they throw the bodies. So no one would come. I just like in Cali, I'm here in the South. I'm thinking everybody in Cali lives like this. It's so beautiful. But then I went to get these glasses, and Vicky Carter, he's an optician. She showed me where he does food for life, right? And what some people. So it was like all hippies and things like that. I'll tell you two stories, because the person who wrote Prabhupada's biography, one of Prabhupada's first disciples, he's going to be 80 years old. He lives across the street from me. My next door neighbor, he's 75 years old. He was also like one of the first devotees. I'm like the young kid on the block. I'm like 69. I feel like I'm the young. They came to my house. They came upstate. They went to the retreat that I was doing. I took them to the famous health food store, right? All these things we saw. So across the street is this Satsurumar. So he told me one story. He was with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada wanted to preach. He wanted to share Krishna consciousness. His roommate, Prabhupada, he had a roommate who was taking LSD and went crazy. Prabhupada was living in the same room with him. Prabhupada had to go out in the middle of the night because he thought the person would kill him. And you know where Prabhupada was living? It was called the Bowery. You ever hear the Bowery? Bowery is where all the bums would live. The most homeless, if you had nothing in America, you'd move to the Bowery. It's the lowest homeless people. all drunks, if you're alcoholic and you're nothing. That's what Prabhupada didn't have money. Prabhupada lived in the Bowery. So then they moved him to this place, 26 Second Avenue. Did you see that? Around the block from the Bhakti Center. Matchless Gifts, where they started. Oh, well, then you have to come again. I'll have to show you. Yeah. So he told this story. It was amazing. That there was a guy running for president. His name is Louis Abalafio. And it was, his party was called the Naked Party, because they didn't wear clothes. And the motto of them is, we have nothing to hide. Right? So they invited Prabhupada to speak. And when Prabhupada came in there, right, they were all stoned out of their mind on marijuana. And Louis Abalafio was there naked because he has nothing to hide. And all the people in his party were dressed as bananas. And they were dancing because they believed, this is a fact, they believed that if you dry banana peels and smoke them, you'll get high. So when the devotees would have a feast, they give them the banana peels. So Prabhupada walked in there and they're dancing as bananas, right? And they're asking Prabhupada to speak. And then when Prabhupada gets back, right, his disciple tells Prabhupada, he said, you know, Prabhupada, he would have run for president, but he's only 33 years old. Right? Prabhupada, Satsarupa Maharaj was there. Prabhupada was laughing hysterically. He was thinking, is the problem that is his lack of qualification is age? Prabhupada was laughing hysterically. Then I had another friend who also joined the first temple. This other friend joined the very, very first temple. Very first temple. Goodness. So this person I know, he was gay. And he brought one lady who was also gay. But she just wasn't gay. She hated men. Not just that way, she hated men. But somehow she joined the temple, right? So after 6 months, right, she comes to see Prabhupada. She said, I just can't stand worshiping that man, Krishna. Prabhupada said, that's okay. We worship Radha. So that's what Prabhupada started with. And, you know, he spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So amazing. And his ability to communicate the truth was so powerful. You know, I was in Vrindavan, and this is where Krishna's birthplace is, and somehow I went there in 1974. And Dorita and Heino and Gloria, they visited me in Vrindavan. So they know it's hard even to get a room. There's so many people there now. But then we couldn't even fill our one guest house. So the devotees that we're serving, we lived in the guest house. When I'd wake up in the morning, I'd look out my window, and Prabhupada was there translating his books. You know, translating his books. So it's such an amazing story, because he came to New York with only $6. That's all he had, was $6. And then from that, Krishna consciousness is spreading all over the world. It's amazing. I wanted to remember one story from back then, but anyway, there's so many stories, but anyway, yesterday was the Janmashtami. It's the birth of Krishna. But God can't be born in the sense that he wasn't existing and then he was existing. God has to be eternal. So there's an analogy given. There's an analogy given that explains this point so beautifully. How something can be born and be existing in all phases of time at the same time. And the example is of the sun. You see, when the sun is born, in English we actually say the sun is born, it rises in the horizon. So now we're here in Colombia, there it's 9:30, here it's 8:30, right? New York, it's 8:30. So it's the sun at 8:30, at 9:30. And someplace it's at midnight. And some places it's 6 p.m. and some places it's at 3 in the morning. So the sun is simultaneously in one place and all places and all times at the same time. Yaji, is that a good analogy? It's a good analogy, right? So the same sense, God is eternal. But he's also born, he's also living, he's in all phases of time, he's eternal. And it's a very interesting point of what God means. He can't be subject, God cannot be subject to time. Because God is absolute. There can't be anything above God. If something's above a person, they're not God. But because everything we experience is within the realm of time, we have no ability to actually conceptualize this. But logically, it must be true. God is beyond past, present, and future. So he's existing in all phases of time. But we can't imagine that. So we were celebrating the birth pastime of Krishna. But does that mean there was ever a time that he was not dancing with the gopis? Krishna, there's a story of Krishna who met Radharani. But does that mean that there was a time when God never knew Radharani? That's his eternal consort. So it's very, ajopi san avyatma bhutanam ishala. Although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, still, by my internal potency, means I'm not forced by my will. I appear millennium after millennium. God appears. And if you understand that, I think one time Brahmananda Prabhu was a very senior devotee. So Brahmananda Prabhu told me, Prabhupada asked him, what is the most prominent verse in the Bhagavad Gita? Prabhupada asked him. And they said many, many verses. And Prabhupada can give different answers at different times. But he liked the verse, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yo Vedi Tatvataha Takvadeham Puna Janma Maiti Mam Eti Sojana. janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatpata, evam yo veti, if you know tatpataha, if you know the truth, if you know the science, janma karma chame divyam, of the that God, his birth, his activities are transcendental, divyam. Very important word, daiva divyam, spiritual, transcendental. If you understand that God's activities are transcendental, chaktvadeham, when you give up this body, chaktvadeham, punajanma, again birth, naiti mam, you'll never take birth again. See, death is the illusion of non-existence. We're eternal. So anyway, it's such a beautiful day. I was discussing yesterday. Sometimes I'm talking to the audience before me, who may be a little bit more new, and then I'm speaking also to the people that have been listening to me. These people have been listening to me for 12 years, every Sunday. But I said a point, it was really interesting. The names, because I ended my class, I wanted to end my class on Janmashtami with the instruction. And the question I asked is, what is the names of Krishna, what are the names of Krishna's mother and father? And what do they mean? And then Nanda means joy. Joy means service. If you really want internal happiness is called priti. The goal of life is priti. There's a term, priyojana. What is the goal? It's priti. And what is priti? Priti is a special type of love where your pleasure is the enjoyment of another. Right? Just like this lady came yesterday. I'm telling the people not here, it's like a paradise, right? So we have this beautiful place. And then people in the congregation are opening up these incredible places, this cold-pressed juice bar. But it's not like you'll get in New York. This is like the most exotic fruits in the world. When they mix these juice combinations, it's just like, I can't even explain. And they'll only get juices that are grown locally from the organic farms. Like, and there's these combinations. So this lady owned a restaurant in New York. She's from Japan, married to someone in Colombia. You know the name of her restaurant? No. Okay, it was in New York. No, this is the Juicy Kitchen. So, and then we have another person has this kind of organic cafe. And they're integrity based. They only use local products. So she brought juices for for the 50, 60 people. And what a treat at a feast, you know. I was going around with the big trays myself, giving all these exotic juices. I liked the people who were taking it. But her pleasure was not drinking the juice. When she gave me a cup and I was enjoying it, that was her pleasure. Right? Like Dorita, your beautiful little niece came. She's charming. Yes. What's her name?
Sophia.
Sophia, she came. So I was scooping out the vegan ice cream for them, right? Right, because I saw there's a lot of children around. It wasn't a disturbance. We have a very big place, but they weren't in the class. So I got out the vegan ice cream and I was scooping it for them. And I saw that they were actually, that Dorita was enjoying her niece eating the ice cream. If I said, Dorita, have the ice cream. How much pleasure you would get. So real pleasure. What? What?
She only ate ice cream.
You?
No.
Oh, them.
Yeah.
So what is real pleasure? pleasure is that pretty. So real pleasure is pretty, it's love, right? So Nanda, Krishna's name means, his father means one who gets pleasure from service. And what does Yasoda mean? Da means to give fame. What does give fame mean? You glorify someone. So the idea was, it's a very, very brilliant point. Actually, Raghunath has a class at 5 a.m. I never went on it. But I heard that Leela Velasini from Vrindavan was going to speak on it. So I actually wanted to listen to that. But my name comes up on the screen. So he says, Maharaj, are you there? You like to say some few words? You're being really shy, you know. But that point I really liked. Bhurjam Prabhu said, a good class, you should learn at least one thing. So glorification and service is the consciousness by which Krishna appears. And this is what, these are the two symptoms of our love, right? Love is in the heart, but it has to be expressed to expand. You don't just sit and, you know, meditating, I love. Love means that love is expressed. And it expands. This is the whole secret of kirtan. Your name is again? Alisa. This is one, you, maybe your first kirtan? Second kirtan. And it's so much pleasure. You liked it? Very much liked it, yes. So what is kirtan? Kirtan is when the bhava, the devotion in the heart, is expressed. So it's like an energy. It's like when you drink that nectar, when you drink that nectar, as it's flowing down, you get a pleasure. So kirtan is when it's flowing up and it's expressed. When love is expressed, then love increases, right? Again, I like to give examples of grandmothers here in Colombia because they seem the most pious. They seem to embody like love, right? They the grandmothers, that's love. They just love everyone. They're selfless, right? They're very strong Catholic culture here, like that. So this expression, when you express love, right, let's say you love someone and you bring them flowers and you bring them food and you talk about them, the love expands. It's actually another form of the love. In Sanskrit, it's called anubhav. Anubhav. Bhava means love. Anu means to follow. So following love are actions of love. But actions of love are not just actions. They're an emotion itself. And it increases that love. So the two things, the main ways that we express and increase love is seva, we serve, and we glorify. And that's the process of Krishna taking birth in the consciousness. Actually, Krishna had 6 brothers that were born before him and killed by the evil king Kamsa. It's a whole story. Then the 7th brother was born, and then Krishna was born. So the first 6 brothers, actually, it's a whole story, but they were manifestations of illusion, greed, fear, anger. There's 6 material qualities. Kamsa represents material fear. So a lot of times when you come to spiritual life is when you follow your greed, when you follow your anger, when you follow your lust, it disconnects you from the soul and you experience great fear. So that fear, the fear in the material world, when we act selfishly, the disconnect, because it puts us in duality. It disconnects us from the eternal soul. If you want to be fearless, you have to realize that you're eternal. Otherwise, you'll always be threatened with non-existence. I tell the story when I first came to Krishna consciousness. I remember the relief. Because before that, I thought that the end of life was the end of existence. So what is your life? It's marching toward... Your future is you're not going to exist. You're going to lose everything. So when we get on that platform, we live in fear. When we come on the platform of the soul, then we lose our fear. That's why the whole Bhagavatam, the main Krishna book, what was the main question? The main question was, what is the duty of a man who's about to die? And what should he not do? And the answer was, if you want to be fearless at the time of death, then chant, hear, and remember God. And remember your soul and feel your soul and realize your soul. Otherwise, what happens? You're faced with this moment where you feel you're going to lose everything, including who you are. There's so much fear. But one who has that spiritual sense, will not have fear. So then what happens after the six garbhasaras, the demons in the womb, are killed by Kamsa? Well, who appears next? Balaram. And Balaram is a manifestation of Krishna that serves him in all affairs of existence and knowledge, and one knowledge is Guru. Then Guru appears, then teacher appears, then Krishna appears. So, Hare Krishna, I'm sitting here, and it's just such a pleasure because I can see our front gate, and I can just see all the people coming into our spiritual oasis, right? To hear the holy name. Jai Jagannath is giving a whole weekend seminar on the Gita. It's such an amazing thing. Wow. I'll probably have to start because the energy here is going to be a little difficult for the class. Anyway, I can say one thing too. I'll just tell my general strategy of the class yesterday. First, I spoke about Prabhupada, even though we're doing Janmashtami, because it was Nandotsava. It was the day Prabhupada was born. And I thought Prabhupada took birth on Nandotsava as a great soul who didn't want to be glorified. So he was born on the day where it's the festival of Krishna's birth. So I thought, but I said, but that's not for us. That's Prabhupada's desire, but our desire is that he should be glorified. And I described his mercy as that festivals like this. Janmashtami. I went to the ISKCON temple. We had Janmashtami, and here Janmashtami, and all over the world by Prabhupada's mercy. And then I describe what it's like in Vrindavan. Elisa, where I live, they visited me. You can also go. Shyam Sundari has tours one day. There's
1,000 temples in 10 square miles. 5,000 temples. That means flowers and food and bhakti and Krishna and Krishna and people glorifying in every room, every place, there's kirtans going on. Rita, what did you think of Vrindavan?
So deep.
So deep, right?
So easy
being spiritual, yeah. Because what happens is, when you're in the West, you have to create the environment and maintain it. There it exists independently of your effort. Yaji, why don't you come visit me in Vrindavan in December? Will you do that?
Yeah, absolutely. I will go there tomorrow if I could.
You promise to visit?
Huh?
You promise to visit me?
100%.
Okay.
Yeah, if you defer my entrance to Colombia, I'll go this year, this September.
But she's going to Columbia University. That's with the U. This is with the O. I learned that. That's the first thing they trained me here. Because every single American that writes me a letter, they say, oh, you're in Columbia? And it's they spell it C-O-L-U.
Yes.
But this is the L. So I'll tell you my strategy for the class. I said, by the end of the class, I want to teach you this song that embodies the bhav and the mood of devotion, Krishna's birth song, celebrating his birthday. You know that song, Nanda Keo, Nanda Bayo, Jai Kaneya Lauki, Jai Kaneya Lauki, Jai Kaneya Lauki, Hati Diya, Kora Diya, Kora Diya. Everybody the bhav. But then I first want to explain tattva. So I gave them a mantra to understand tattva. And the way I explained it is the fullest manifestation of being is love. And love only manifests in intimacy. So for God to be in his fullest, he can't maintain majesty. This majesty restricts intimacy. If God just sits so high, it's not his full being. His full being is in love. Friends are equal. Parents are superior. You want to have motherly love. It's superior. Romance, all these things. And I said, every person here is not just their form. We analyze someone by Gyan. People are their love. People are lovers. People are friends. People are children. Parents. So I said, the mantra I'll give you to understand Krishna, and I made this up myself, and I tell people I copyrighted it. People use without my permission, they'd be sued because that's the tradition of my family. Joking. Position covers personality. Position covers personality. So Krishna is the supreme person. That means he has that position, but he doesn't manifest that position. Just as the high court judge is most full at home, not when he sits on the bench. And this is another thing that I made up myself. Use it, you got to use my name, you get sued. It's Krishna is God, G-O-D, with his guard. Now, G-U-A-R. Guard means to hold something, to protect. Krishna takes the guard down. He's God with the guard down. Akila Rasa Vita Murti. So the full embodiment of his love manifests. Elisa, this is all new for you. Does it sound interesting?
Yeah, I do remember the story. Yes, so it kind of resounds.
Oh, you remember the story? Which story?
No, it's
I spoke yesterday. You know, I see you're listening very attentively. This is like very high subject matter, and I'm trying to explain it to them. So, and then I told some Leela. You have to have tattva, the science, and then you have the Leela. And then I explained, this is a point that I've been harping on, I've been saying, that God, to be God, not only has to not have a position, he can't always be fully cognizant. Because if you know everything, there's no emotion. If there's no emotion, love can't reach its height. This is the point that I've been, so like you know, the stories where Radha becomes angry at Krishna. And his love for Radha, she won't speak to me. See, he's mugdatta, he's unaware sometimes. But because he's God, he's fully cognizant at the same time. Whatever serves his pleasure, he is. So it's a very deep, beautiful philosophy. So I describe, right now, I think 2 weeks from today, my last day, I think I'll do this Kali Lila, the whole Lila story with all the Bob and all the Ras, because the details are just amazing. And how Krishna thinks his friends died, and what is his friendship like at that point? It just rises to the height. And that's a reasonable conception of the ultimate reality. And I wrote this once. Everyone who's here is looking for love. Is looking for pleasure, and pleasure is love. If that is the guiding principle here, why shouldn't that manifest in the ultimate reality? Therefore, the ultimate reality must have a type of distinction for the expression of love. Radha and Krishna, God and his energies, exchanging the deepest love. What a beautiful concept. Okay, I will stop here for one or two questions. Is everybody still on? Yeah. Okay, you can still hear me. Anybody like to ask a question or say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail, just saying hello.
Oh, wait. I somehow can't hear. One second. I'll be right there. One second. Hi, Krishna. Hello? Hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Hi, Krishna. Can you hear?
Gail, how nice to hear from you. What a surprise. Okay.
Well, here's another surprise, Maharaj. I'm just saying Hare Krishna. No questions today.
Are you punishing me? are you in Mon?
Okay. I wish I could say yes, but no.
Okay. No questions from Gail.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Hemalata Radha.
Oh. Hemalata Radha is sending her love to Gloria, Venu, Dorita, Yaji, Elisa, all the people that are here. Okay.
Yes, please, to the whole community in Colombia, Maharaj. I have one question.
Yeah.
What's the verse you mentioned from Prabhupada that you quoted, Maharaj, from the Bhagavad Gita?
4.9. 4.9, I think. It's around what chapter? I think 9th verse.
Thank you.
Janma Karma Chimri. Okay.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Jai Balai here.
Jai Balai. What a nice name. Where'd you get that name? Okay. I'm joking.
Mercy Maharaj.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hey, Krishna,
hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Please, Govinda Das.
Who is it?
Lal Govinda Das.
Lal Govinda. Okay, Haribo. Who else?
Hi, Bill Maharaj. It's Jai Kishori.
Jai Kishori.
Wow.
Hi, Bill. Who else?
Hi, Bill. Hi, Krishna Gumara.
Hi, Krishna Gumara.
Kishori Radha. Wow. Dorita says hello to you. Remember Dorita? Kishori Radha? Okay.
Don't remember. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay. Kishori Radha sends her love. Okay.
Hi, Krishna.
Who else?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Tota Gopinath here. Jai Prabhupada.
Jai Prabhupada. Wow. Tota Gopinath. Okay. Who else?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Shrivindarbhika. Hi, Bo. Wow. Good. Anybody else?
Hey Krishna Guru Maharaj, it's Braja Sundari Radha. Hey Krishna.
Braja Sundari Radha, one name gets better than the other.
Thank you, it's all your mercy.
Okay. Okay, who else? Okay, we'll end for now. Okay, thank you.